Out on the Limb with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV, your one stop for leading a happy, healthy, and successful life. Celebrating life and illuminating mind, heart, body, and soul.
Welcome, welcome. I am Dr. Nicola Bird. I am a psychotherapist and the founder of Self-Imaging Therapy. Thank you for being here with me today at Out on the Limb. We're here to celebrate life and to illuminate the mind, the heart, the body, and the soul. And I'm very much excited about the show today. Our theme is how to be the CEO of your own body. So I am really thrilled to introduce fitness lifestyle expert, entrepreneur, TV personality, YouTube fitness star, Amanda Russell. Amanda has been awarded by YouTube as one of their top fitness trainers. She is best known as the Carrie Bradshaw of fitness for creating high-intensity, short, results-driven workouts that allow people to achieve the runner's body without actually running. Amanda is here to share with us how we can empower our lives mentally, emotionally, and spiritually through fitness. Amanda, I am so happy to have you. We've been having such a good time connecting back and forth, so now we're here together to just really explore all of the amazingness that you are.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on this call and to learn about you through this connection. I'm absolutely really excited about everything you're doing, and I'm starting to tune in myself, so this is great. I'm excited.
Well, thank you, Amanda, because, I mean, what you're doing is so important. As, you know, as women, body image plays such a significant role in our lives. It affects how we see ourselves, how we feel about ourselves. It affects our relationship, our confidence level, our career. I mean, in my work, image is everything, and at times we can be really strong and be really plugged into a sense of feeling our worth. And then sometimes when we go through really difficult times, it's just like, bleh. So, and then when we get that, in those times, it's really hard for us to take care of ourselves. The food and exercise, we come in battle, we can find ourselves procrastinating, getting stuck, and then we get into, like, mindsets that really keep us oppressed. So, you know, scarcity, and we can't have it, and it's not working, and we give up. And I know it's really easy to look at you, Amanda. You're in great shape. You're a fitness expert and a fitness expert and a model. And it's really easy for people to look at you and you're beautiful and, you know, your website's amazing. Your videos are amazing and you're fabulous. That you don't struggle with your body image. So I'd love you to talk a little bit about your journey, because when women are comparing themselves, as women do, and they say, oh, she has it all, yet what have your struggles been?
Nothing is what it appears. that is for sure. I think everybody's the biggest judge and critic of themselves. And it's so easy to look at somebody else and to be like, you know, oh, she's fitter, she's prettier, she's smarter, she's funnier, she's this, she's that. The bottom line is you cannot compare yourself. You never know. First of all, you never know what somebody else has really gone through. I know that in my experience, my journey myself, body image was a huge issue for me in a very different way. I have been commonly, very widely criticized for being too fit and being called out for being, and literally being diagnosed by anonymous people that watch YouTube videos on the internet, diagnosed with different diseases ranging from anorexia to bulimia to a bad role model. And this is from people that they've literally seen a photo. And then there are whole forums on, I mean, it's crazy. You cannot let it get to you. And plus, whether or not somebody is sick, is not sick, whatever their body image is, you don't know what's going on behind their story, their struggle. They might have cancer. They might have a thyroid issue. They might have just gotten over the loss of a loved one. There's always something, so you can never just make a judgment about just simply looking at someone. And then the second part of this is the comparison. Women are so bad. I mean, I'm the most guilty of all, and this is why I think I'm so passionate about doing this, is because it resonates so well. And you have to stop looking at each other. You know, there's that saying that, you know, stop trying to be the second best version of somebody else and just be the best version of yourself. And I think that every time you get caught, you know, my husband's very good about this, get caught, like, you know, being competitive or comparing yourself, turn that, if you can turn that energy and that competitiveness or that jealousy or envy, whatever it is, into action and into pouring it into doing something good for yourself and furthering yourself, and not so much looking up. Because I always feel like the happiest that you're ever going to be is when you start accepting yourself and stop thinking, okay, you know, I'm just 5 pounds away from my perfect weight. I'm just, you know, one salary level below, one title below. When I'm really, it's always when I'm really going to be happy, when I'm really going to get there. We're never really going to get there. If you think about it, you're always, there's always going to be something else. So you got to just stop and just start to just be like, you know what, 5 pounds up or down, like $10,000, $50,000 here or there. Like, let's start living in the, like, living life and not trying to get to the finish line, which, you know, the true finish line is you never know when it's going to come. And if you haven't lived up to that point, it doesn't matter.
You made some points that are so many wonderful points, and I'd love to explore all of them. However, I'm going to
go back.
Yes. No, it's beautiful. It's beautiful because it's so important. It's what we need to hear. We need to understand this. And when someone is in your role and in your position, you highlight this, I think it can help other women to take pause and go, let me take a look at myself and let me look in this mirror. And when you start talking about that you're being skinny shamed, and people don't think about that. I think, and because when a woman is out there who's struggling, who has been told negative things about herself, most of society sees that from the place of when people have on more weight, and then women are struggling from that the being bigger than what society thinks they should be kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you're being shamed for something on the other side that we don't talk about very much. But what it highlights to me, Amanda, is that it isn't, and I really want the women, the listeners out there to really look at this, is that it's not about whether you are have this extra pounds on or if you're smaller. It's the whole critical culture that's the problem. It's not your body.
Exactly.
It's the critical culture.
It's nothing. At the end of the day, it's all the same struggle. It doesn't matter if it's exactly pounds up, pounds down. It's the way that it makes you feel. And if there's anybody, any woman on this planet that has never been insecure or criticized about something, I want to know who that person is, because I think that's something that we can all resonate with on some level. So everybody, like I always say, everybody's struggle is different. And weight just seems to be the most, it's the most highlighted and front and center in our culture. So that's the way we're ingrained to think about it. But it could be, I mean, there are so many things.
And I think that a very important thing is for women not to own these critical statements and start to think that it reflects who they are. It reflects the other person. It reflects those voices, not them. And because in that journey to wellness and fitness and living a continually healthy life, we do have to overcome those voices. When women are struggling with those voices and working with you, what do you say to them? How do you help them disengage from that kind of talk so they can succeed at their goals?
That's a really good question. And there's many different, it really depends on the woman. Because it depends, you know, everybody is so unique. They're as unique as, you know, their fingerprint or whatever you want to say, but their motivation, what's going to help them is going to be so much different. It's like the exact same reason why one fitness plan or one diet is not going to work for every single woman. You cannot give a one size fits all. I think women need to start embracing what they do. It's almost like instead of looking at what you don't have or what you think you could do better at or, you know, the negatives in your life, start focusing on the positives and capitalizing on those. And once you start doing that, you start building your own confidence and just owning what you do. And I think that is so the key. And I'll give an analogy of this. And this is a very, you know, surface level analogy, but I think it states a lot in a lot of different ways. I was on a beach vacation, and there was a woman that was probably, you know, mid to late 40s, and she was walking by the pool, and she had on a beautiful red bikini. Late 40s, and not the pinnacle of how culture would define fitness. Like, you know, maybe, if, you know, the culture might say, oh, if you maybe 2 pounds heavier or a little bit, you know, extra curvy. But this woman had this confidence factor and the way that she carried herself. And I was so drawn to her. I thought, my God, this woman is rocking it. Like, she's beautiful. There's something, it's a presence. And I think that there's so much to be learned from that, because it wasn't that she was really, by society standards, the most beautiful woman in the room or had this crazy body. It was literally, she was so confident, but not egotistical, but the way that she walked, it's almost innate. And I think that something like that, whether it's your job, whatever it is, that, at that moment, you know, Giselle could have walked by. Well, maybe Giselle probably has the same kind of confidence factor, but what I'm saying is it doesn't matter who else is there. She rocked her own presence and her own physique and her own aura, regardless of who else was there. So it wasn't like, oh, well, the girl next to her was thinner and she was, you know, younger and she was more beautiful and she was smarter. It was like, no, this woman is like, everyone, I remember around the pool was like checking this woman out. So I think that's just a really good analogy of kind of rock, like figuring out what it is that makes you passionate and makes you confident and that you're good at, and owning those qualities.
So much of what you're saying is based on mindset, how we feel and think about ourselves.
Yes.
How important is that for us to be fit? Because we can get really caught up in this kind of superficial stuff, working out, getting a body the certain way, that's our fitness. Fitness is based on this diet, and then we can get, and those are just the things that we are doing. Yet you keep focusing and talking about the mindset, the emotional state of being. Why is that so important?
Absolutely, and I think that 99% of fitness of life is in your head. And that's why I say one of my mantras with what I do is that, you know, this might be, the fitness is about so much more than exercise. You know, it's not, people might start into the strong and sexy lifestyle. They might start into fitness. They might start into exercise because they want to lose weight or because they want to look a certain way or whatever. And that is, and I love that because that's initially what gets people surface level motivated. But once you get into it, you realize that it is about so much more. And it is about category of your life, from relationships to career to social, the way you present yourself. And it all comes down to, it really has nothing to do at the end of the day with your body. It has to do with the way that it's made you feel and the confidence factor and the sense of ownership. So I completely believe that it's 99% in your head, and whether you get into it or not because of that, if you stick with it, you will soon learn that. And that's a big part of my community and my philosophy is that, yes, you know, we can all do exercise, absolutely. Everybody knows what they should be doing, right? Everybody knows they should be doing what healthy food is, that exercise is good for you. But there's a huge difference between going through the motions and really living that life and feeling it and exercising the confidence factor. I would hands down rather be 15 pounds too curvy than too curvy, I don't say, like, or overweight, and feel great about myself and be confident and know that I'm healthy and I am fit for my own body than to be in this situation where you're starving yourself and you're moody and you don't go out because you're afraid to, you know, eat out at restaurants and you're not feeling good about yourself. It's just the way, it depends on the way that you want to live. But exactly, it's just like you can train your body, you can train your mind, and that's so much more important because training your mind translates into training your body and to whatever else, other goals you want to reach.
I think those are very important because it's really hard to sustain without our minds being on board, and that when women are going forward looking to lose the weight or eat they focus so much on the physical, they need to put attention into their mind and in what's going on in there in order to optimize it and to make it stay and sustain itself. And Amanda, you've had so much of a journey yourself, and I'd really love you to talk a bit about that, because your story is very captivating, and because you've been through your own challenges and your own difficulties, and you had to do lots of your own overcoming to be plugged into a healthy mindset. And you were a runner, you had a
yep.
huge disappointment. And I mm-hmm. think our journeys are so important in our coming to our own self. How do
Absolutely.
You go through that severe disappointment and come out here in your own life now, where you are, you know, really, really living your truth and living your life and sharing not only that, but sharing it with this empowerment with the world?
You know, there's a reason for so many phrases and, you know, cliche statements about overcoming obstacles and failure being success, and there's a reason for it. And I don't like to state them or repeat them, or I'm not really a quote type listening to quotes kind of person, but I think the more that you go through life and the more you realize the validity of such statements, because, for example, having never gone through anything majorly drastic, like if your biggest tragedy is very minuscule things and you've never really been really shaken, that's going to be your tolerance level. That's going to be your range of scope for what you think, how you frame life and how you frame new possibilities and opportunities. If you've never really had to fight for something or know what it feels like to lose something and to get it back, how are you going to do that in the future? You almost, I feel like when it comes down to it, it is the worst things that have happened to me at the time, seeing them as the worst things, the biggest failures, that have become my biggest opportunities, and they are the reason I'm doing what I'm doing. And every single thing that I look at that was at the time the worst thing that could have possibly happened to me in my head ended up being the best opportunity and has shaped my journey and has made me more interesting and more compassionate and led me to different people, to different fields. And what that shows me is that as bad as it seems, now whatever happens, it's like, okay, as bad as it seems, this might seem like it's the end of the world, it's the end of this period of my life, whatever it is, that give it time, and it's up to you to make that an opportunity. The same thing could happen to 100 different people, and what they decide to do with it is so much different. It depends on your attitude. And recently I went through something where I'm the biggest advocate of, like, okay, I know it's all about your attitude. I know that it takes your attitude to, like, make the best of something. But we're all human. Like, we all fall into this, something bad happens or something happens, and you're not perfect. And your natural inclination to not just be the worst thing happens and you're not like, okay, it's time to be positive and let me just jump back up and get into it. Sometimes you have to go through that. But having gone through that so many times, I was thinking to myself recently, why am I struggling so much with this? I have been in way worse situations. I have struggled with a lot more, but I didn't think it was that bad, or I got through it because those opportunities started coming because of the way that I decided to look at it, because I just didn't let it stop me. And no sooner do you start doing that, but everything starts to change and click. It's almost like the day is rainy, so then all of a sudden you think, oh, it's a rainy day, it's going to be crappy, I'm going to be wet, everything's going to go bad, now the coffee went up too slow, where versus like that exact same day, and you're in the best mood ever, and you don't even notice it's raining, or you're like, you're happy there's a break from the sun, and your plants are getting watered, and you get a chance to chat with somebody in the coffee lineup. It all just depends on the way you decide to look at it.
That is so inspiring and so important, because you are, I'm bringing back to what you're doing, you are a fitness expert, you train women in exercise and wellness, and this important piece, this you're putting into the equation, you're adding into the equation. And when you add this into the equation in your programs, so let's talk a little bit about how you go about putting, bringing in this, because you have some on your, people just are loving your program. I love what you're doing. I think deceptively easy.
Thank you.
And,
thank you.
Yes, and effective. So how, when in your full program, so you're not just a diet, you're not just, how
right.
do you bring them all together in your programs?
And that's a, I love that. I love that you asked how that you've seen how sort of how you bring it all together. You're right. It is not just about a diet plan. It is not, there's a million of them on, there's a million of them online. You can Google one and you'll find one. What I believe it's like is it's a recipe, right? It's not a short-term fix. It's education in itself. It is literally training your brain as it's training your body. And there are four phases. And so each phase that you go through, you kind of learn subconsciously a little bit more about your body, about your routine, about your lifestyle. And rather than me forcing a program around your life, you start to realize how to wrap the program into your life and incorporate it as a positive. And so much of that is, I call it like, and I think I made this analogy to you in an email about the program, it's a lifestyle, it's a recipe, and all those components are there, right? You go to any book on weight loss or fitness or anything really, and there's 100 of them, there's a zillion of them, and they all have components of the same elements that have all been done before. What is it that makes this so much more effective? What differentiates? I don't believe, we all know that a squat is a squat is a squat. We all know what it's like to run a mile on the treadmill. How do you take those components and put them into the right order to maximize them and to make them something long-term and substantial and that are going to give you results inside and out? And that's like where it comes, I always give the analogy of a recipe. Take lasagna. You can have all of the right ingredients for that lasagna, but if you don't put them in the right order, you miss a direction. Your temperature is wrong. Your timing is off. That lasagna is going to turn out totally differently. And so that's basically the same analogy with this fitness plan. On a daily basis, I show you sort of the template for, okay, if you're going to do a workout like this on Monday, then you have to counteract it with a workout like this on Tuesday. Here's the diet plan. Here's also the wiggle room. I don't even like to call it a diet plan. My nutrition philosophy in how you can incorporate. It's not about, okay, you can never have a piece of birthday cake again, and you can't go out for dinner because there's too much salt and fat in that food. And that's not living. That would be living in a very boring bubble. So it's all about how you, and I don't believe that being healthy is absolutely abstaining from everything that is like pleasurable and fun and spending hours in the gym and never enjoying champagne and wine and all that kind of stuff. So I believe it's about incorporating that in the right way. And there is a way to do that. Your body is an incredible machine. And it's how you do that. It's not about working out more. It's about working out with the right ratio, with the right intensity, in the right order. It's not about eating less. It's about eating smarter, eating at different intervals, the ratio of how you pair food. It shows you daily how to do it. And I try to get people more and more autonomous so that by the time that they are in phase four, they're like, know their body. They know what works for them. It's a non-issue. And they become so confident. I mean, the stories that I receive are just, they're like, they give me chills sometimes because I'm just astonished and excited by people that are like, you know, I used to like work out like crazy. I've tried Weight Watchers. I've tried every diet plan. Nothing sticks. I just hated exercise. I was like always this upward battle or a yo-yo exercise program, yo-yo diet, or just never really felt great. Or the other thing is I never thought that I could I just didn't think I had the body type to get into that kind of shape. I thought it was just genetically impossible, and now I realize, and now I'm there. And so that just makes me so happy.
Wow. So, and what do you see in terms of the mindsets that goes along with this? How what is the shifting mindsets? What is the brain retraining that goes along with this?
Right. It's just like it becomes a part of you versus a part of your life versus like mm-hmm. you have versus having a negative relationship with food or being or having a negative relationship with exercise. It's not so much about having to think about it. You shouldn't be having to think about it. Once you start thinking about it and analyzing it, that's where the problem comes in. That's where all the demons come in. That's where everything comes in. Look way back into history. Did people think about and analyze, oh, you know what, I think there's too many calories in this piece of meat, and I think, you know, I don't think I got in enough steps today. And no, we didn't do. And the more we focus on that, sometimes the worse it is for us. This becomes sort of like a part of your lifestyle, and I try to ingrain it. Like, think about brushing your teeth. You don't really think about that. You get up in the morning and you're not like, oh, should I brush my teeth or not? You know, I don't really feel like it. Should I go to work today? I'm not really sure if I should go. I don't really feel like going to work, so maybe I'm not. Maybe I'm going to sleep in a little more. And you don't do that because it's so ingrained into you. And at the end of the day, it's so a mindset. Our mind is incredible. You can do the exact same thing with fitness and diet, and at a point you're not thinking about it anymore. Like, I don't go out to dinner and I'm like, okay, here we go. So I'm trying to calculate this in my head, and then what am I going to do tomorrow? Oh, I'm so bad. This is cheating. No, once you can erase those thoughts, you naturally just become, you know what to incorporate, you know where you can cheat, where you can get away with, where to get the nutrients in, and it just becomes like a very natural, healthy flow, and it adapts to our current society because we aren't in the dark ages anymore. We're not hunting our meat down. We have it all plentiful. So it's just based
Amanda,
on how you choose.
What you said is so, just so inviting, and it makes it available, not non-threatening, and creates like a safety zone for women to go and create opportunity to live their best life possible through your wellness model.
Yes.
And I know that
yes.
you have offered our listeners a credible program here that you, one, find out more about the amazing Amanda Russell at her website, fitstrongandsexy.com.
Yes, and it's spelled A-N-D.
A-N-D.
Fitstrong
A-N-D. But you can find you very easy, Amanda Russell, on YouTube. You have an amazing
yeah.
channel, 75,000 subscribers and growing. And she's going to offer everyone here, the listeners, 2 weeks free membership. And,
yes.
So we're wrapping up very shortly, because you can just tell us about that, and then we'll wrap up.
Awesome. Yes. So to get that information, is there we can put a link below, or
yeah, we'll put a link below. Yeah, we'll put a link in the message board
okay.
below. Absolutely.
Okay, great. We'll put the link, and then you can click there, because then you can just go over directly to the site, and you can enroll to get those free two week membership, so you can have a chance to really check it all out and explore it all out, take it in, see how you want to work with it, if you want to work with it, kind of just see what it's all about. Check out the forum, which is really fun. It's women from all over the world, and our community of women is just extraordinary, and they support one another, and, you know, often they have similar issues or similar problems, or they're just each other's cheerleaders, so it's really exciting. So head over there and check it out, even if it's just for a week or two. There's nothing to lose.
Well, Amanda, thank you for your time, your energy, your effort, and your amazing contribution. Many blessings.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time and your care, and for having me today. And I look forward to speaking to you more and listening to more of your interviews.
Bless you. Thank you, Amanda. Amazing work.
Thank you.
Wow,
great have a great
show.
Day.
Thank you, hon. So there we are. We now understand how we can be the CEO of our own body. This is Dr. Nicola Bird. To get more insights on how you can lead your best life possible, go to my website, thewellness-network.com. The show is Out on the Limb. Join my mailing list. Get all the incredible tips and tools to create the amazing life that you deserve. Once again, I am Dr. Nicola Bird. See you right here tomorrow for another insightful and entertaining segment of Out on the Limb.
You're tuned into Out on the Limb Radio with Dr. Nicola Bird in partnership with Beauty and Wellness TV. Tune in Monday to Friday, 5 p.m. Eastern and 2 p.m. Pacific.